The Skiffy and Fanny Show is listener-supported, which means basically you guys listen and we feel really good about ourselves. But if you'd also like to help us a little bit, you can go to audibletrial.com/skiffyandfanty, sign up for a 1-month free trial membership, get a free book, which is pretty cool, and the bonus is that it helps us a little bit. So go ahead and check that out at audibletrial.com/skiffyandfanty and enjoy the interview.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
But the Krell forgot one thing, yes. Monsters, John. Monsters from the id.
There you go again, always blaming me for everything.
Go switch off!
It's a trap!
This looks extraordinarily bad.
Commencing countdown. T minus 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Skiffy and Fanny Show, episode 129.
Jumping into the Colosseum without the lions.
And that's basically the awesome tagline that we've come up with.
Yeah, but did I miss something?
No, you got it all. It was very...
Oh, okay.
Especially since it's very topical, considering the film that we were watching for today's torture cinema.
Yes, which seems to take place primarily within the Colosseum.
Maybe for 15 minutes.
Yeah, but that's the largest stretch of the entire film, so...
Well, it's probably the most interesting stretch of the entire film.
You could say that.
We might want to tell our listeners what the actual film we're talking about here.
No, honestly, Jumper. I think we should spend the entire podcast. Okay, you've already ruined it. Not mentioning the title of the film.
Yep. So the film is.
And the podcast would make about as much sense as the movie.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much. Yeah, the movie doesn't make a lot of sense. So anyway, so it's 2008 Jumper, the adaptation of Stephen Gould's book of the same title. It's got Hayden Christensen and Rachel Bilson and Jamie Bell and Samuel L. Jackson and some
Diane
other people
Keaton?
who basically is meaningless.
Diane Lane.
I love her more than Diane Keaton too, so
yeah. So just quick nonsense that we have to get through. There's no skit for this particular episode. We usually do skits, but because we did a very, very long and special skit for Jay Lake, that means there's no skit for this one because we put more work into the bigger skit. So,
and honestly, what would the skit for this movie be about?
It would just basically be Hayden Christensen making awkward statements for 10 minutes.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. So, all right. So why don't we describe this film? Now, Paul's usually done it. So do you want to do it again, Paul?
Well, first, probably we should mention what we're drinking first.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. Okay, well, I am drinking Skinny Girl Vodka. Yes, I bought a vodka named Skinny Girl.
So I'm not lesbian.
I'm totally okay with that. I'm very, very comfortable with drinking this. And it's with cranberry pomegranate juice. So I'm drinking.
I am drinking some Belgian white ale. This is Blue Moon, actually. A very popular brand up in these parts.
Cool.
Yeah, but really, there are so many better beers out there.
Yeah, I'm just not... I need to be re-educated or further educated in alcohol. I need to talk. I think you do.
I would be happy to point you to some Blue Moon-like beers that are much better than Blue Moon.
Okay, well, I'm just going to sidetrack the pretentious beer talk and go straight to Julia.
I'm just going to say, since when do we judge people on this podcast? Sean's drinking a Skinny Girl vodka, and Jen didn't get down on him for that.
I said it was so lesbian. No offense, Julia.
But see, I'm perfectly comfortable. If drinking Skinny Girl vodka makes me potentially, like, I don't know how that works, me being a lesbian, but whatever. I'm totally comfortable with that. I don't
feel like it is lesbian. It's more sorority girl.
It's sorority girl. Well, that's probably a better...
But in any case,
sorority.
That is most men's wild fantasy in terms of lesbians, though, is sorority lesbians. So, I mean, if you want to make a loose connection.
I'm just not going to fantasize. I'm just drinking good stuff, man. Just leave me alone. Let me enjoy my life.
I decided to reprise last time with my hot apple cider and whiskey confection.
Oh, God, solid choice.
Good.
I'm going to have to try that.
It's super delicious. It's delicious, delicious stuff. You should totally drink it.
I've become a total alcoholic now.
So it finally discovered how big the bottle of wine is that I am consuming.
How big is it, Jen?
It is so big that many men would probably overcompensate with it. I am drinking Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi, which is an exceedingly cheap Pinot Grigio from California, and it is 1.5 liters. I have already consumed half of the bottle, so this should be a lot of fun.
So, you know, like a regular bottle of wine is 750 milliliters, which means, or centiliter, I don't know. In any case, you've basically had one regular bottle of wine at this point.
Oh my God. That's essentially what I have consumed so far. So tomorrow morning when I have to wake up at 6 a.m. because my daughter has a swim meet, I am probably going to be hating life.
You're crazy, Jen.
A try.
No, if it's any consolation, I'm drinking an alcohol that has a 30% alcohol rate.
Holy crap, what are you consuming?
Skinny Girl Vodka, we've been over this. How much have you had?
That's a lot of alcohol for even a vodka.
I know. It'd be 60 proof, wouldn't it?
Well, I suppose.
I've had harder stuff than that in vodka.
Yeah. I don't drink hard alcohol.
All I know is half the bottle's already gone, so.
Yeah, but you have, like, this weird, like, ability to process alcohol that concerns me, so. Yeah.
No, this is the weird thing, is when Jen and I have done this show, I will drink more hard alcohol than she will drink regular wine, and I'll still be coherent. And she gets mad at me.
I do. I'm a lightweight, and it's just not fair.
She hates it.
Granted, the cheaper drunk out of the two of us. So.
This is true. But I also don't drink very often.
Are we here because of some sort of crappy movie or something?
I feel like this is going to turn into sort of a 12-step rehab podcast if we're not careful.
Okay, all right. Paul, why don't you describe Jumper from 2008 to us?
I'd be delighted to. Jumper. Hayden Christensen's 15-year-old double is a loser in high school who has a secret crush on a girl. Unfortunately, he lives in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and not Minnesota, so when his special gift to the girl gets thrown out onto a river of ice, he does not walk up safely onto the lake, instead nearly drowns. Fortunately, he can secretly teleport and winds up flooding the local library. Fast forward a few years later, and he's living the high life, having robbed a few banks, and discovering that life is pretty good when you can teleport all around the planet at will, except for the fact there are people around who want to kill you. And oh yes, there's other jumpers too who don't want you to crimp their style. Action hijinks ensue, incomprehensible plot and motivations ensue, and nothing is really resolved at the end, except a couple of deaths. That's Jumper.
I'm not even convinced there are a couple of deaths.
Yeah, like, I'm not sure anyone died.
Like, did Samuel L. Jackson actually die?
No.
The river that he drops the house in.
Let's not even go there, because we're getting into my likes and dislikes.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
About Paul's description is that it was about as convoluted and pointless as this movie.
Actually, if I'm totally honest, I think Paul's description makes more sense than the movie.
Makes more sense than the movie. Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah,
and this is sad because this is probably the best movie we've watched for torture cinema.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree. I liked Zardoz better.
You liked which one?
Zardoz.
Okay, I'll give you that only because Zardoz at least tried really hard to be clever.
Zardoz had a more comprehensible plot.
I'm not convinced of that.
I am.
Okay, all right. So why don't we get into our likes and dislikes? And since Julia clearly hates this movie more than she does Zardoz, we'll start with likes so that our dislikes will be the end of the show. So Paul... I'm sorry. No, Julia.
No, go ahead.
Paul, would you like to start?
Start with my likes?
Yep, your first like.
Okay, my first like actually goes back to my description of the plot. I liked how he unlocked his powers. The intimate threat of death unlocking a special ability is a classic trope in comics, novels, and stories, and they use it well here. Nearly drown, learn to teleport. I mean, we learn later something about the origins of and the real nature of it, I think. But the fact that it only kicked in when death was on the line was a very cool idea, I thought.
Yeah. Okay, but this is one of the spots, and I'm sorry, but I have to cut in, because this is one of the spots where the story makes no sense. Because in reality, he actually first jumped when he was 5 years old.
Yeah, continuity error. Because if he jumped when he was 5 years old, that presumes there have to have been other jumps between that time. It's never explained anyway why he doesn't jump between 5 and 15.
Yeah.
It's not explained. It's true, but I think it's implied that when you first jump when you're 5, and I guess his powers went latent, or you don't really get them until something's really on the line and you can manifest them again. You really need a traumatic incident.
It could be that maybe the reason is because the mother left and that maybe he repressed it.
No, actually. In terms of him not jumping again.
And not jumping after his fifth, gotcha. Right?
Okay.
What I don't understand is, I guess maybe this is the thing, it's never explained, is they never tell us that he's essentially psychologically damaged is the word I'm going to use, but that's probably the wrong word, right? Because they could say that. He's psychologically damaged, and so he repressed his memories from when he was 5, because that's when his mother left.
That would make sense, at least.
Right, but they'd have to tell us that. We can't just assume that that's true just because he lives in a shitty house environment. So, but since Paul, yours is actually related to my I'll just get mine out of the way. I actually really like the way that they did the powers because they could have made it kind of stupid and silly and whatever. But they actually, I thought the way that they manifested the powers visually was actually really well done, particularly when the fight scenes came. Because, you know, that could be one of those moments where just kind of silly, but they actually make it really, really fast-paced, and you see how the powers are actually used in a sort of action environment, and I thought that was actually well done.
Yeah, and I'm going to cut in because that's related to my first like, which is the action sequences. Probably the only well-done portion of this movie were how they dealt with jumping. Granted, I still have problems even with the action sequences, but at least they looked cool.
They looked pretty cool, and you know, they moved quick enough that you didn't notice how CG'd it was. Because there's a clear sense that like they basically did video versions of Facebooking the guy in random places inside the cathedral, but you kind of didn't notice it because it moved so damn fast.
Mm-hmm.
So it looked pretty good. So I guess that gets us three out of the way. What about you, Julia? What's your first like?
My first like is just the concept of teleportation. I mean, honestly, if I could have a superpower, that's probably right up there in the top 5.
Would you teleport to another planet?
No.
That's just dumb.
Why not?
No, I'm not. I really do not have a hankering to explore space. I really quite like living on Earth.
Huh.
I think it's totally cool if other people want to teleport to other planets. That's awesome. But,
But you couldn't in this version of teleportation.
Unless it was established as an awesome planet already, and I knew that that's where I was going, and I could come right back, then maybe.
Okay. Well, when I get teleportation and you get it later, I'll set up an awesome place on another planet just for you. So
this reminds me of The Watchmen in some ways.
Why?
He goes to Mars and sets up his little thingy there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He sets up a little city. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
I will say, to address the thing about him being 5 and then not jumping until he was 15, I'm assuming that he didn't remember jumping when he was 5, that it happened and he didn't even know what happened and his mom recognized it and left. That didn't bother me at all. And that it just didn't happen again until he was actually going to die.
I guess my question would be, wouldn't he have some memory of some weird event happening? Minute he's with his mom and you're 5, you're not 2.
I don't think that it even necessarily would register to him.
Oh,
it's just something that happened.
At 5, you probably wouldn't. I think my only problem with it is that that it takes a traumatic event at the later point in time, but presumably it doesn't the first time around.
Well, and we're led to assume that his father is, for the most part, abusive.
Or yeah, but it's also, the way the story goes, it's also, contextually, it seems to be that the father only becomes abusive.
After she leaves.
After she leaves.
Right, well, which presumably would provide the impetus for why his power would work after he's five. Because he manifests the power when his father's going to break down the door.
But not if he didn't think he was going to die. I mean, the first time it happens when he's 15, he really is about to die. He's drowning under the ice.
True, but the second
time
that's unlocked the
floodgates. And then,
but wouldn't that have already been unlocked at five?
No, because the first time it wasn't necessarily based on trauma. It just happened. He didn't even recognize it. It never happened again.
This doesn't make any sense to me.
there are consistency issues with this, yes. Maybe I should go to my first dislike?
Yeah, why don't we switch up? Yeah, because we're all kind of covering this topic already. So, all right, first dislike.
My first dislike is the narration at the beginning of the movie. It's a sign of a very weak movie that you have this voiceover narration the first 10 minutes. A better movie wouldn't need that prattle. You show, you don't tell.
Yeah, and it should be noted that at least 75% of all the movies that we watch for this feature have some version of narration, and this isn't even the worst of the intro narration forms, because at least this one didn't give us the words.
That would be all of the Twilight films,
right? Which give us the words and then talk, right? That is even worse than just telling us.
Yeah. All right, who's next?
Oh, is that it, Paul? You're good.
That's it. This is short and sweet. Kill the narration.
All right, Julia?
Am I going to surprise anyone here? I didn't see that this movie passed the Bechdel test. There were more than two women in it. They didn't talk to each other, unless you count Kristen Stewart randomly saying, "Mom," that one time.
I don't think that counts because it's Kristen Stewart.
I don't think it counts because it's not even a full more than one word.
Yeah,
if you actually expand it so that she was saying a whole sentence, they're talking about a guy, because what she's saying is, "Mom, there's some weird guy at the door."
Yeah, that's true.
Basically.
Yeah.
Major Bechdel test.
I think
fail.
You're giving her too much credit, though. I'm not sure she actually said the line. I think it was put in audio later.
Come on, you're ruining my last epic dislike.
Yeah, so, I mean, it obviously doesn't. Like, most of the people in positions of power and most of the people in general are men.
His mom is technically in a position of power and is a woman, but it really doesn't treat women well at all. The girlfriend is pretty much there as an object. She likes him for zero reason.
Right, we don't even know why she likes him. Why does she like him?
He has been nothing but a jerk. He's completely unsympathetic, and then she goes off with him in the end anyway.
He lies to her about pretty serious stuff.
He lies to her. He puts her life in danger multiple times.
And then what's weird is what I didn't make any sense to me. It's not one of my dislikes, but like after she gets kidnapped and he goes to save her, she's like, "I'm so sorry about all the mean things I said to you." And my thought is, I wouldn't be. He totally lied and put me in this situation. If he had not lied, he would have given her a choice of whether she wants to be involved in that situation, but he never gave her that option.
No, there's just basically none of the women have characters.
Basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's really depressing. Thank you, Julia.
You're welcome.
Which leads us into my major dislike, which is the selfishness of David as a character.
Yeah.
So this was extra disappointing as a big fan of Jumper. I read it when it first came out. I actually had it in hardbound. I don't know why, but it was one of those books that I liked the cover and I loved the concept of teleportation. So I made my dad buy it for me, basically. And in the original book, you have this, you know, a kid who is escaping an abusive household, which they kind of go into, but the actual first time he teleports is when he's being abused. So in terms of reasons why he's jumping, it's a little bit more complex in the book, and I appreciated it more than some kid who's getting bullied by the local jerk, which I suppose isn't the worst thing in the world, but it's so typical teenager that it just pissed me off. And later on in the original book, he uses his powers for good, basically. In this film, he never even bothers to do anything, even the slightest bit good at all. And that pissed me off a great deal.
Yeah, there's even that moment in the movie when he turns on the TV and he sees the flooding, presumably like the Mississippi or something. I can't remember what the flooding was in 2008. I'm sorry.
Warren, yeah.
Right. But he basically, the narration literally says in the video, you know, something like, you know, if only someone could come and help them or something like that. And he makes this face. And my thought was,
what a dick. That was my thought, personally.
And what doesn't make any sense is he has no basis for, like not like the other, like Griffin. Griffin has a reason not to want to help people, because if he draws attention to himself, he knows the paladins are going to come after him. He doesn't have that.
No, this David is basically just a dick.
Right.
I mean, original book, and like, I hate that I have to go to the original book in this situation, because there are things actually about the movie that when I disassociate from the book are okay. But the character in the book is, he's a fairly typical but still worthy superhero. And he fights against terrorists, and that's cool. You know, it's like 1992. I was like, I was okay with that. And I think I still would have been okay with that if they had chosen that as the direction of this film. But they didn't. They went with some dumbass teenager who basically is like, oh, I'm rich and I can go anywhere in the world. I'm going to be a dick for the rest of my life.
He turns to be, what's really ironic in the film is he turns out to be just like the people who were abusive to him.
Yep.
Like the bully kid.
Yep.
So, God, you're just racking up the depressing. Thanks, Jen.
I'm sorry, but it had to be said.
All right. Well, I guess I will start then with, it's going to be a first for me, but I pretty much could not stand Hayden Christensen and Rachel Bilson.
Come on. Actually, I didn't have them on my list. There are other people in this film I hate more.
I can't stand them. I've just decided that they have no chemistry together. There's no point to Hayden Christensen. I just don't understand him as an actor anymore. The more I watch films with him in it, the more I realize, like, he's just, like really awkward and doesn't understand how body language works. Like, his head just does these weird things where he, like, still looks at you, but he turns away as though he's disgusted, but his eyes tell you that he likes you. I don't understand it. So, and Rachel Bilson just basically can't act in this film. Like, she checked in, I guess.
I'm sorry, I'm considering that.
It's true. You ever notice when Hayden Christensen, he's acting, right? He's sitting there acting, and he'll turn his whole head away. Like, he'll turn the whole thing, but, like, the corner out of his eye, he'll still look at you with desire.
I don't disagree, but honestly, over the course of this film, it doesn't seem that inappropriate for the character. Because, as I said before, the character's a dick, so no, why would he?
Yeah, but they're not good turns. They're like really awkward. Like, why is your neck capable of doing that kind of turns?
That's true.
That's just bizarre. And, like, to be totally honest, they could have just made the film about the 15-year-old kid. And that kid, I think, is probably a good actor.
That, yeah, he did.
Because he's only on the screen for 3 minutes.
I know, sad.
It's very sad. So,
I have to agree, there was a marked difference when Hayden Christensen actually started being the person on the screen. And it wasn't a good one.
It wasn't.
I don't understand. Like, there are moments when I look at that guy and I'm like, that's actually all right scene. You know, you could make a career on TV.
In fact, I honestly occasionally like to pretend that the first second three Star Wars films might have actually been good if Hayden Christensen weren't in them. Granted, that's just a pipe dream.
Oh, honey. No. There's so much that's wrong with the first three Star Wars.
I thought you were going to break into your Katharine Hepburn.
So did I.
Oh, honey. I'm so ever so sorry.
Oh, honey, no. I'll have to get out my 357 Magnum and kill you.
Like I said, I just like to delude myself into believing that, you know, if only Hayden Christensen hadn't been in them, George Lucas might have turned them into something wonderful.
I have three words for you. I have three words for you.
Yes.
Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's what I would disagree that he's not the worst thing.
Yeah.
He's not the worst thing. The worst thing...
There's so much wrong.
No. The worst thing in the Star Wars movie, and then we'll move on, is George Lucas desperately trying to write romantic themes. And it's very clear that he has not romanced a woman in his life. Or, for that matter, a man, since I guess technically he could be gay, but I'm assuming he's married, so to a woman. But
he's on his second marriage to a much younger woman.
Oh, well, then clearly he's not any good at this, because his romantic lines are some of the worst creepy stalker lines I've ever heard. They're creepy. True. They're very, very creepy. They were better in the old ones, so I'm guessing when he was a young man.
I have to stop you real quick, because maybe we could get those movies on our next torture cinema, which
God.
We're going to have to do. So fans out there, please.
Don't suggest them, please. Don't ruin my childhood.
Vote for Star Wars Episode 1 as our next torture cinema, because Julia will love you forever and ever.
She's a liar.
All right. Let's switch back to likes then. Paul, you already... Everyone gave their first dislike, right?
Yep.
All right.
Yeah. Yep.
Second like. Paul, start with you.
My second like should be obvious to anyone who knows me for more than 5 minutes. I appreciated that a lot of this movie was set in my favorite city that I need to visit but haven't yet, Rome.
Which is?
Rome.
Eternal City. Come on.
I thought you said you were going to Rome in the city that you liked. I'm sorry.
The city I have not yet gone to, but I want to and need to and will one of these days. The Eternal City, Rome. I appreciated that a lot of the movie was set convincingly there. A lot of the other spots they jumped to didn't feel like those places. Tokyo didn't really feel like Tokyo. I think they probably did some CG with the desert stuff, but Rome. They clearly filmed in a Rome. It looks like Rome. Feels like Rome.
They were actually there. It's very clear they were there.
Yeah, I was very happy.
Yeah.
Yay for Rome.
You know, this is one of my likes as well, is the locations. And though Paul disagrees with the Tokyo portions, the movie was actually filmed on location in Tokyo. So I think it's more that Tokyo doesn't feel like Tokyo, basically because it's so much like New York. So we kind of, you know, can
we
go
get a good
way in our brains.
Tokyo.
You don't get a very good impression of it, which, you know, it can be a definite criticism. But the locations in this film were fantastic. I mean, the apartments were really well done. Griffin's hideaway was really cool. The only part that was completely ridiculous was him sitting on top of the Sphinx, which I'm sorry, you'd think somebody would fucking notice. Maybe not though.
Shot.
Exactly. But otherwise, I liked the variety of locations and that they actually utilized that aspect of a jumper.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why actually one of my likes is the pretty places.
Yeah, it was very pretty.
So, I mean, the Pretty Places Guild was clearly well represented. The union members are happy.
The union
they got
members
exactly
are happy.
What they wanted,
I mean,
despite all of the anti-union rhetoric. So
the Grass Guild, not very well represented, but
no,
the
there was
city,
so much desert, like
city
what
streets
happened?
And Sahara Union,
concrete
very
and
well.
Sand.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. The concrete and sand unions really won the bid this year.
They did.
Clearly.
Yeah. Julia?
Okay, so this really ties into my second like, which is the Colosseum. I thought it was really beautifully shot. It was gorgeously lit, and it was very nice to get to spend some time looking around inside the Colosseum. As someone else who has never been to Rome, I was like, okay, this is kind of awesome.
And then they did a pretty good job, because some of that was not actually in the Colosseum, obviously.
No, but they did give us some really nice shots of the Colosseum.
Yeah, but they like, did a really good way. I'm sorry, continue.
We did get to see the actual Colosseum in detail, absolutely. Which was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it was this film made me want to go there more than I already did before.
Yeah,
I agree that I really liked all the locations just in general. I like that they did use that. Like, if I could teleport, obviously I'd be going all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, dude, the part where he like jumps to a beach and like goes surfing and then is like, "Fuck that, Fiji is better," and goes there. Loved it. Granted, that scene with him on a wave in Fiji was really, really badly done. Sorry. Next.
All right, I guess we're on dislikes.
Well, yeah. Right. My second dislike has already been mostly covered by Jen. Unlikable main characters make for movies I really can't get behind, and Hayden Christensen's character was a dick, and he stayed a dick, and it's like, why am I watching this movie? I don't like this character. He's not even growing as a character, really. I hated him. I'll hold off saying more because it actually goes into one of my likes. I wished a different character was the main character that I could get behind. I didn't like Christian's character at all.
Okay, so interestingly, I think that if they hadn't shown that river scene and given it as a possibility of what a jumper could do in terms of being a hero for the greater good, I think I would have been less pissed off.
No, yeah, I mean, I agree with Paul, and we kind of already covered this, but he's just a terrible human being.
He really is.
He's not sympathetic at all. And in fact, what's weird is he starts as sympathetic. He's that the 15-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Like, I felt for him. I was like, I've gone through that with bullies. I know exactly what that feels like. And then he becomes the bully. He becomes the douchebag. And that just made me really sad inside.
It does.
Julia, will you save us?
Yeah, and even though you all have talked about this before, you've all covered this, but I didn't say anything last time around because I wanted to go ahead and rant about it in my second dislike. The main character is totally unsympathetic, and I absolutely hated him. Even though, as Sean said, you can kind of feel sympathy for the 15-year-old, it's ruined because the movie starts out with his older self narrating it and already telling you that he's going to become a giant douche. Because he starts by being like, yeah, I spent this morning copping all over the world and getting hot chicks' phone numbers. I pretty much throw women away like paper. And I was like, oh, really? Yeah. So you're a nice guy, huh?
Really nice guy.
And, I mean, I guess you could be a nice guy if you bar hop and you like, you know, you pick up ladies.
No. Yeah, he did not sound like the kind of guy who actually has any respect for the women that he picks up in bars. I mean, there are absolutely guys who are awesome that have one-night stands, but that he did not.
Considering he follows it up with a totally douchey one-night stand.
Right, with the British girl. The British girl, he disappears on her in the middle of the night. Yeah.
Exactly.
I wouldn't do
and
that.
It's clear that he does this all the time. And then he goes on to rob a bank and apparently leave them an IOU note, but never pay them back and continue robbing banks for the next 8 years.
Right?
To be fair, how was he supposed to pay them back? He doesn't have a freaking job.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh my God. So he can't pay back the bank.
When he like shows up in the bar and he tells Millie that he's in banking, I'm like, oh good, maybe he's taken that money, invested it, and paid the bank back. Because you could invest the money that you originally robbed the bank with and get tons of return, and you could then, you know, parlay that into a fortune and pay the bank back. No, he does not do that. He blows through all the money he robs from the first bank and continues robbing banks.
Mm-hmm.
How is that a good person? How am I supposed to like this guy?
This is a kid who, you know, flunked algebra, apparently, so maybe he doesn't know about like investing.
Well, you don't have to know anything. 15. You just have to give it to somebody who does.
Yeah, he's not exactly the smartest of characters.
Well, he's apparently smart enough to jump all over the world and do it with all sorts of girls.
Well, you're assuming that makes
sense. I'm sorry.
You got to also remember, he starts as a kind of little bit of a dweeby, geeky kid.
He's and then apparently becomes smart enough not to get caught while he robs banks for 8 years straight.
He's not. His mom is protecting him the whole time.
That's the thing. Yeah, what?
I don't know. And in any case, totally he's completely unlikable. When he comes back to his hometown and the guy who was a bully sees him, which also, here, again, another thing that's completely unlikable, everybody in that town thinks he died. And they never found his body. And then he just shows up 8 years later and they're like, oh my God, you're not dead. And the school bully is like, hey, dude, let me buy you a drink. And he's like, no, I'm going to pick a fight with you and then leave you in a bank vault so that you will get in trouble with the police.
In his defense, the bully is still a dick.
No, the bully actually, when he saw him, I think he was actually seriously like, dude, let me get you a beer. And then instead of being like, okay, Hayden Christensen was like, no, I'm going to be an asshole.
Yeah, but he was a complete misogynist when he was trading with Millie. The bully, I mean.
Although, to be fair, well, so is, them, so is really. Hayden Christensen. So
yeah, really. Yeah, I can't actually.
Yeah, I don't
okay, no defense.
Him any better. Yeah.
Because he's being just as possessive of Millie.
Okay,
so yeah, basically he's just a horrible person. Fire me. And I'm very sad about that because... Really,
firmly
why?
Established, David in Jumper is a complete dicky misogynist douchebag.
Basically.
Okay.
So, time for the third like, I think. We're all covered on dislike number two, right?
Is there anything to possibly like after this?
Yes. As I was alluding to for my second dislike, I liked Jamie Bell's character, Griffin, a lot more than Christensen.
Me too.
What about having the movie from his point of view? Yes, he's traumatic. He's got this grudge against the Paladins, especially Roland. He's had a crappy life. He does some questionable things on his own, but he's got a character arc. He's got a story, a background. He can act.
And there's moments where we look at him and we go, even though I disagree with the actions you're taking, I feel like I can understand why you take them.
Exactly. He was a great character. He was everything that David from that he was not. I mean,
no. Right down to the acting.
Right down to the acting. I mean, I wanted more Jamie Bell as Griffin, less David.
And everyone knows who Jamie Bell is, right?
Tintin.
Yo, he is Tintin. He was also from Billy Elliot.
Yep.
The kid in Billy Elliot, really?
Yeah, that's him.
It's him.
Crazy.
He's grown up and become a great actor. Surprising.
That is so adorable. Madly in love with him. Okay, not really, but yeah, he's my next dislike. He's my next like too.
I was about to stab you.
I know, really. Because of all the reasons that Paul just named, plus. Gorgeous, and that helps.
Yeah, that's not objectifying him at all.
I love objectifying. It's one of my favorite things to do.
He's a cute guy. I'll give you that. Yeah,
half the reason that I like when Mike comes on the show so that I can objectify him.
Except it ends up being me that objectifies.
Well, yeah,
the salad oil. Yeah,
yeah, that was his. That was all him. Julia, what is your
salad
next
oil?
Like?
Yeah, you might want to go listen to the interview with Michael. It's hilarious.
Ah, okay. I'm behind on my podcast listening. My third like is actually something that he does when he's kind of being a dick, which is when he leaves that guy on top of the Sphinx and then walks out of the police station and is like, I'm free to go.
That was pretty funny.
I was like, okay, I mean... On the one hand, you've been a complete dick for this entire movie. On the other hand, you were in a bad situation and you were like, what should I do? I'll leave this guy on top of the Sphinx. Done. Problem solved.
I just wonder what happened to that guy next.
This is a film that does that.
I'd like
makes
to
you
see
wonder.
A movie from his point of view. Like, I got left on top of the Sphinx. Now what?
That would probably be a better movie.
It would be a series of, like, how does his day get worse? Because I bet you it starts with, like, He gets an argument with his wife. His daughter, who's 13, has started to hate him. He shows up at work late because there's traffic. And then he has to deal with this guy for 8 hours. And then the guy leaves him on top of the Sphinx, and he's arrested by Egyptians right in the middle of the revolution.
All because Magistrato wouldn't show up, you know. And so he's just frustrated. The coffee has run out, and... That guy, that actor was probably the best actor in this entire film. He looked so pissed off by the time that he leaves that room. I was like, amen, sister. I totally feel ya.
Do you think all of this is in the deleted scenes?
I hope so.
Is it bad that we're trying to make more backstory for characters who are only on there for 30 seconds?
Not really.
No.
It's a testament to this movie.
Okay. All right. Let's go fourth dislikes then.
Fourth. We're only on third.
Third.
I don't know where we are, man. I had so much alcohol.
Third dislike.
Second. I don't remember doing my second dislike.
Look, all I know is in four minutes it will be Sunday. So.
The second dislike revolved around Hayden Christensen.
That was my first dislike.
Then it went on number three. Just go.
So do your second and third dislikes now. Jen.
Oh, me? Okay.
Yeah.
So, 1 second, because I'm chewing on some almonds and cranberries, but...
I thought you were being the old lady.
So, the thing I don't like about this movie is... So, back to, you know, that whole... We've been creating storylines for these characters, right? Well, part of that reason is that this film manages to start and stop storylines completely offhand over and over again. I mean, case in point is the Jamie Bell thing, you know, who obviously the best character in the entire film because he actually has a story. But you start out with him like, you know, okay, he kills paladins. That's great. Why? You don't find out until 5 minutes to the end of the movie, and then they mention it because they killed my parents when I was 5 years old. But that's it. That's all you get from him. Sorry. No more than that. The abusiveness. His mother. Yes, she leaves, but, you know, she had a choice between killing him and leaving. That's all you're going to give us? Really? And then she has another daughter. Where did that come from?
And can she jump?
Who knows? I guess we'll find out in movie number two that they're
probably not. It's Kristen Stewart.
Never, ever going to make. But yeah, that pissed me off. So that was my second dislike. Now I have to do a third dislike?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I saw the third dislikes.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Okay, my third dislike. There are a hell of a lot of logical gaps in this movie.
I will just mention
a couple because we could be here all night. What bank has a bathroom next to a vault? High-stakes security vault.
The worst bank in New York's history.
The worst bank in New York City, exactly. And you're gonna escort this kid down past the vault to this bathroom. It just felt like a very ham-fisted, weird way of giving him a way to get into the bank.
Homeless-looking kid.
But what's really interesting is that bank actually exists.
With that bathroom there,
It's called the worst bank in New York City.
Oh.
That's its title. They have really good checking accounts, though. They're free checking accounts. You get cool checks. They got, like, President Obama's face on them. It's really cool.
And then there was the scene where he teleports into an ER and nobody notices. They're so busy helping the person, they don't notice that he suddenly appeared out of nowhere. And they do that a number of times in this movie where he pops out of nowhere and nobody seems to really notice that, hey, this... He pops out of thin air.
But what makes that scene the worst?
Nor do they establish that he had ever been there before.
Presumably, been to the hospital before. I mean, come on, he's a...
No, because it almost seems like it's in the town that he started in, you know?
Right, it's in Ann Arbor, so it makes sense that he would have been in the hospital at one point. But what I would say is, what is even more alarming about that hospital scene is he shows up and destroys the whole room. Because he does one of those really traumatic jumps, which leaves craters in the floor. And he destroys all the equipment, and everyone's like, well, all right, we'll just take care of your father. No big deal.
Yeah, they don't seem to have noticed that he just wrecked the room in getting in there. It's just weird blindness on the part of people around them. It irked me.
There's property damage everywhere. Every time he jumps, he creates massive property damage that no one seems to notice.
Exactly, Julia. Thank you.
Not quite every time, but many times.
Floods libraries, wrecks ERs.
Right, but when he's jumping in the Colosseum, he's not causing damage because that's presumably at a point when he can control it.
No. Even with the property damage, I'm sorry. Even considering who his mother is, you'd think that with the amount of property damage that he's creating, the paladins would have found him a little bit earlier.
It would take less than 8 years, yeah.
That's a fair point. Yeah.
Just saying.
All right, Julia, what have you got?
Okay, so there is one person of color in this movie, there and is? He's the villain.
Oh, it's Samuel L. Jackson, that's right. I forgot.
That's really sad that we
Samuel L. Jackson, who is referred to occasionally as Roland and occasionally as the black guy with the white hair, because there is, of course, only one black guy in the entire movie.
That's actually really weird when you think about it, like, because there aren't a whole lot of black guys with white hair running around.
It takes place in, like, all over the world, right? But we only see white people. Except for Samuel Jackson, who is a villain.
Well, and presumably Japanese people when they're in Tokyo, but I didn't look.
No, I don't think there were any Japanese people. There were just white people. Tokyo.
Just like pretty much just saw them. Just saw David and Griffin. Yeah.
That's really sad.
Yeah.
It's seriously sad, and the one dude that actually is a person of color is the villain who is there just killing people for no reason.
Yeah.
He's a paladin.
Yeah. Actually,
but this gets into a later dislike, so I'm not going to go into that.
Oh, but that's probably related to my dislike then.
You can go ahead.
I'll save it in case. I'll save that one for when we get into it. We'll get into it together.
Okay. So. Then I'm going to go to my next dislike, my third dislike, which is teleporter ineptitude.
Go on.
So, regardless of the fact that Griffin has supposedly been spending his entire life fighting these paladins, he still somehow doesn't do things like what David does his first time, which is trap him in, you know, a cave. But he doesn't pop behind the guys except more than once later in a scene. And in the book, okay, granted I'm going back to the book, but in the book, David, like, drops them off of cliffs, which is hilarious, by the way. And in the film, they are able to, you know, jump off the Empire State Building and drop and still teleport themselves out of it. Mm. And yet, Griffin, who has spent his entire life fighting these dudes, doesn't bother just killing them offhand by grabbing them from behind and dropping them.
Well, he does mention a shark reef that he's dropped a couple people onto in the movie.
Yeah.
It seems like the movie makes it like he's playing with them.
Yeah, except that why would he play with them? I mean, his like sole task in life is to kill these bastards, and yet he doesn't bother.
I think you're assuming
that he has to go through the trouble of like the trucks and the buses when he could literally just hop behind the bastard, teleport him off a cliff, and be done.
I think you're making a bit of a like this is a guy who, as you say, has been hunting these people his whole life.
Yeah, and he's
and
still
you're assuming
at it.
You're assuming that this has not had a psychological toll on him. And I'm sorry, but I think Griffin is slightly unhinged. I think he's mentally unstable. I think he's some
Maybe
form of a sociopath.
Touch, but it would be more like he would play with them by teleporting them above a shark tank sort of thing, as opposed to fucking around by teleporting all over the Colosseum trying to escape them, when he could just jump behind them and be done.
I'd
be like, piranha tank, baby. That sounds awesome.
Well, because you are such a high and moral individual, of course.
Obviously.
Do you not care that those people have families? There are kids at home, Jen.
Yeah, but they go around killing people.
They're waiting for their father, Bill, to come home.
Yeah, but they're still, you know, zealots. And I don't like zealots.
He promised to bring them little fishies for when he's in Tokyo.
Why would you get fish in Tokyo?
Fishies. Like little toy fishes. He always brings them when he goes to Tokyo.
Yeah.
But this time he's not going to bring them because he's dead.
Yeah. Then maybe you shouldn't be a zealot who kills people.
Ouch.
Just saying.
So heartless.
So what is your third dislike, Sean?
Oh, I'm just going to go with something that actually bothers me about the movie, which is that basically the film just says, well, you're being bullied and you have a shitty home life. Get magic powers. That'll solve everything. So that's basically the narrative.
I thought that was the answer to everything. I'm sorry.
That's basically the narrative, though, right? He's got all of these problems. His dad's a deadbeat douche. He's got asshole jocks. You know, I'm presumably a jock. I'm going to assume he's a jock because that's the way he acts. You know, treating him like crap and all this stuff. And then he gets magic powers. And what does he do? He suddenly has no psychological issues at all. Suddenly he's perfectly fine. He's not nervous with women. He's not nervous in general. He's perfectly fine and totally all together. And I just didn't understand. I don't get how suddenly getting magic powers makes you not legitimately hurt.
I don't think it was the magic powers. I think it was the piles and piles of cash. And I just want to say that I'm really offended that you are so prejudicial against jocks.
Well, I think it's a stereotypical image of jocks, to be fair.
Yeah. You just assumed that kid was a jock. Therefore, you're a prejudiced asshole.
You know what? Go away. You know, I'm on a school with a football team, okay? I know what it's like. Can we move on now?
Yes, let's go to our fourth likes.
Okay.
My fourth like has been alluded to before. There's some neat teleportation ideas in this movie. Yes, there's some logical inconsistencies and flaws in how the teleportation works. But some of the fight scenes, some of the ideas like Griffin's use of the car, teleporting through the glass to get the car out of the car showroom, for example. I thought it was a nice touch, for example.
Mm-hmm.
There's some really neat action sequences. And hey, it's as Jen, I think it was Jen said before, hey, teleportation is cool. And this movie does show that teleportation can indeed be cool. So I appreciated that. Totally want that superpower.
Yeah.
And you don't even have to teleport to the source and back like in Mike Cole's books to do it.
Right. You can just teleport anywhere you've already been.
Right. Or can apparently imagine.
Yeah, Mike Cole uses it the same way, interestingly.
No, not quite the same way. You have to transport between the realms.
Between the realms, but it has to have been two places that he's been to before.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
See? You're right.
And it is, logically, that is how teleportation would work. You know, like, if you can't imagine where you're going, then it's probably a really dumb idea. Granted, it probably wouldn't work if you're looking at the scientific quotient of, you know, space and time, but it's still kind of spiffy.
Indeed. Julia?
You guys are going to hate me.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
I really liked it when Kristen Stewart showed up.
God,
I was like,
what?
Wait, what is Bella doing in here? This is a Twilight crossover?
I am going to hang up in 5 seconds right now.
And so ended Skippy and Fanty.
Oh.
It made me so happy. I was just waiting for Jacob to come bounding out without a shirt, even though it was snowy.
Okay, see, that would have made a really good movie.
I just want to die right now.
Unfortunately, you just stole my epic dislike.
Well, you can disagree with me. You can totally make that your epic dislike. Okay, I said you guys were going to hate me and disagree.
Jen, you'll have to pause. We'll go to your dislike in just a minute. Julia, I need a very, very well thought, sufficiently argued reason for why you enjoyed the presence of Satan herself.
Okay, first of all, I think that you're wrong and Kristen Stewart is not Satan. I've seen her act very nicely in movies that weren't Twilight. However,
such
I
as?
Think she was doing Adventureland. I loved Adventureland.
She was
great.
She was in Adventureland.
Yeah, she was.
Oh, I'm going to look that shit up right now. Come on, internet, work while I'm trying to do stuff. All right, no, continue.
Okay. Also, like, I loved the fact that she was very much playing the Bella Swan character. She opened the door, she basically looked stoned and was like, there's a guy at the door.
Oh my god, she was in that movie.
Radioactive spiders. I don't know what I'm saying. Mom? That was my favorite moment. I just cracked up. It was great.
I have to agree.
In the movie.
Hilarious.
Why was she in that movie?
Why was she in what movie?
Because she's not actually a bad actress, and I think that you're really hard on her for no reason. I mean...
No, I have five
I've seen Robert
reasons.
Pattinson also act better than he does as Edward. I really think that, like, in Twilight, they are playing the most wooden characters ever, and that is part of what makes Twilight comedy gold.
Oh, just kill me. I just want to die right now. I'm sorry, Twilight is so bad. It's hard to take her seriously after seeing those films.
Actually, I think it was hard taking her seriously after... What was her first movie? Now I can't even remember.
Her first movie was... Well, it was a TV movie called 13th Year. But
oh, actually, that was really good.
She was in the Flintstones in Viva Rock Vegas? Really? Really? Oh, she was a ring toss girl. She was uncredited. Okay. Well, okay. Oh. Look. I'll watch her in On the Road, and if she's good in On the Road, I'll let you have this one, Julia.
I heard that she was also really good in The Runaways as Joan Jett. I haven't seen that yet, but it's on my to-watch list. I've heard from multiple people that she was really good as Joan Jett.
I mean, I saw Snow White in The Huntsman, and she was, like, not the worst she could possibly be, but, like, a good actress? I couldn't say she was a good actress.
I didn't see Snow White in The Huntsman, so I can't speak to that.
I mean, there
I
are
did
moments.
Like Adventureland, and
oh,
I also...
Panic Room. She actually wasn't horrible in Panic Room.
Oh, yeah, she was like a little kid. She was the kid in Panic Room.
It's because no little kid is really terribly awful.
No.
I would beg to differ. Sometimes
name one
kids
child.
Are...
Oh, that's
honestly,
right. She was in Zathura.
I'm going to have to go with Jake
Zathura.
Lloyd. Now, that's what I call pod racing.
Well played, Julia.
Well played. Okay, all right. So you actually enjoyed the existence of Kristen Stewart.
It gave me a bright moment of laughter during the horrible, horrible last half of that movie.
Okay, I'll let you get away with it for now. Oh, Jen?
Where am I?
Fourth
I don't
like.
Know, where the hell are you?
Oh,
fourth
okay.
Like.
Fourth like. So even though I really fucking hate to admit it, the reimagining... of the jumper book concept wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, but we've seen the Star Wars holiday special, so what does that get us?
Yeah.
Okay, really valid point there.
Points to Paul. Or what? I should have better have said.
I can't do a Wookiee. Apparently, but.
Yeah. Okay, let's stop.
Our next podcast will be entirely in Wookiee. We hope you understand. No, I'm serious.
Open.
Okay. So even though I bitched because, you know, obviously I really loved the original book. I mean, it was a good book. It was a solid book. There's obviously it has its faults, but it was a great conceptual teleportation novel. However, going off of I suppose the film, not director, producer, production company sort of concept of, okay, well, we like this concept, basically, but we're going to have to make it cool for a younger generation. I can't believe this only came out in 2008. God, this movie sucks. Anyway, it's not... If you combine the two books, because the first film, Jumper, is him, like, fighting terrorists, super cool. Second book is him. He's now working for the NSA, but he is captured, and they're trying to, like, find, you know, the trick to porting or something. I can't remember what it is right now. If you combine the two and turn it into a religious concept, which I thought was dumb in the first place, but whatever, it's not the worst. It could have been more like the books, but honestly, I think the books actually would have been a failure if turned directly into a film. Potentially. I could be wrong about it.
I haven't read the book, so I have no idea, Jen, so I'm just going to take your word for it.
Well, there's not, like, a specific protagonist in the first novel. There's not, like, some overarching evil that he's fighting. He's just fighting terrorism. He's fighting one specific terrorist who gets his mother killed, but... I don't know. It may not have played well, especially in 2008, if you consider politically probably not the best idea to target Muslims as terrorists.
Fair enough.
So, yeah.
So am I the only one left for the like?
Yep.
With like, yes.
Okay, so I have done the Jamie Bell, the Pretty Paces, and the Power, right? So we're on fourth. So I'm just going to get rid of the one that I think is easy. I just really like Samuel L. Jackson as Samuel L. Jackson in every Samuel L. Jackson movie. Don't know why. I just can't bring myself to dislike him. Just can't. So I'm going to like
him.
It's
because he's a badass motherfucker.
This is true.
I'm going to recapitulate this when we get around to likes again, but yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to leave it at that. So why don't we get to dislikes? So Paul, your fourth dislike.
Fourth dislike, the main female protagonist's character arc is unbelievable. So she pines for him after he supposedly drowns for 8 years. He shows up. She drops everything to go to Rome. They break into the Colosseum. She doesn't realize that he's insane and been lying to her. I couldn't believe that someone could be that dumb, that stupid. But there was not enough grounding to make us understand why. I mean, she's an attractive, pretty girl, and she's just been pining there without any attachments or engagements with anybody else for all that time. And so she just picks up and goes off with him, drops her job practically. No, I couldn't see why or how that makes sense. I mean, it looks like she barely really had any connection with her as a 15-year-old. It's like, What is this character doing? I mean, are you stupid? Are you blind? You're just badly written.
It goes back to what Julie was saying. I mean, she is badly written. She is essentially just an object.
Yeah, it's just...
There's no character. There's really no character there.
Yeah, I disliked it a lot.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. She's a terribly written character. So... Although that's not one of my dislikes.
So who's up next for a fourth
dislike?
That would
be Julia.
I think that's me. So that leads very nicely into my next point, which I have written down on this paper. Incoherent plot, all caps. What is this? I don't even. Because, honestly, I was watching this with Moss, my partner, and we're like 30 minutes in. We're like, well, you know, this isn't even really bad. It's just kind of mediocre. Like, it's just a mediocre thing. And then we're like 30 minutes later again, wait, why is this happening? What is happening? Who are the Paladins? Why is any of this going on? And what exactly is happening on screen? Like, they've stolen a Paladin device and are reverse jumping for some reason that we don't understand. Like, why are they in Chechnya? Like what the hell? And at some point, I realize I have lost the entire thread of the plot. I have no idea what's going on. I know that Paladins apparently killed Jumpers and have since the Spanish Inquisition or before with advanced technological devices that they apparently have.
I'd have like to no know idea how they killed why. Them at the beginning of time, you know.
Yeah,
like
I have no idea why they kill jumpers. They say all jumpers are bad people, which apparently they are, because all the jumpers I've seen are terrible people.
With the exception of the one that gets killed in the jungle, we have no idea.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I have no idea what's going on at all in this movie for the last act. It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Yeah, I'm with Julia on all that.
Yeah, and that goes to, I'm just going to throw out my dislike, which is that apparently jumpers are really, really daft, because their big plan in the end is, hey, let's do a Marvel team-up where we'll have a limited-run team-up thing, and we're going to go fight the evil Samuel L. Jackson character. And somehow they believe that this organization that has been around since the Inquisition, at the very least, has been around that long, that if you just kill Samuel L. Jackson, who apparently is an immortal because he's been there since the beginning, they must assume.
Stop! 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 You're getting into my last like.
I'm sorry. But they're making this assumption that killing him is going to end the Paladins, but there's no logical basis for why that would be true.
Yeah, also his mom is apparently a Paladin, and she's like, you jumped your first time when you were five, and I knew I had to leave or kill you, so I left. And I'm like, wait, why did you have to leave or kill him? Like, why couldn't you help him control it and hide it? Or teach him not to be a bad person? Or, I don't know, anything.
Or study it.
Yeah, like, anything other than apparently I have to leave and then stop him from getting in trouble when he robs banks.
No, that's much better course of action, you know.
Yeah, instead of maybe teaching him good moral foundations and,
yeah.
Yeah. Doing like a Spider-Man thing, you know, great.
Which is why you kill Griffin's parents at the age of five, so that he is guaranteed to become an asshole.
To turn into a bad person, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
I just don't.
Psychology. Not a big thing on the Paladins.
They're like Scientologists.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what? I have no idea. But
Scientologists hate psychology.
But... Oh, that's right. They do, don't they? Yeah.
Huh. All right. Sorry. So let's get to our last like then.
But I haven't done my last dislike.
Yeah, I was only the second person. So two of you still need to go.
Yeah, both of you.
Sean, you haven't done yours.
I already did my dislike. Jumpers are apparently stupid.
Yeah, okay.
They think that killing Samuel L. Jackson is going to end the Paladins, when clearly this organization has existed for hundreds of years.
That's true.
It's stupid.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, his mom is higher up than he is, too, so, you know. Yeah.
And also, it's an example of why you shouldn't drop out of school, because you'll end up this fucking stupid.
It is. Try not
and
to
he drops out
algebra.
Of school. Mm.
I take exception to that. I have friends who have dropped out of school and are much smarter than that guy.
But are they jumpers?
Yeah. My husband.
Your husband's a jumper?
No, he dropped out of school.
No, there's a biological chemical relationship between stupidity and dropping out of school early and being a jumper.
Oh,
all of those things are connected together.
Okay, so this is a message about not dropping out of school if you're a jumper.
If you're
basically.
A jumper.
Yes. Okay.
If you discover you have jumping ability, don't jump out of school because you'll end up being stupid.
You had to be more specific with that, because apparently it's okay to drop out of school if you're not a jumper.
I don't know if okay.
Do you hear
is
that, kids?
Word.
It's okay to drop out of school.
It depends on the situation.
The Skippy and Fanti Show promoting dropping out of school since 2013.
Ow!
I'm just saying, if you drop out of school, it doesn't necessarily mean you're dumb.
There might be good reasons, sure.
Actually, a lot of highly intelligent people drop out of school. You know,
I agree.
Like Einstein.
Okay, your fourth dislike, Jen.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Go to hell.
Okay, no, I'm fucking serious here. This is the worst Samuel L. Jackson that Samuel L. Jackson has ever done.
Bull.
No, I'm
the worst
serious.
Is the spirit. The worst is the spirit.
Yeah, the spirit. The spirit's
I don't
worse
even
than
remember
this, Jen.
The spirit. Which one's the spirit?
That's how you know it's the worst. You can't remember it.
No, I'm serious.
It's
which
a crappy comic
spirit?
Book one where he winds up dressing as a Nazi at one point.
Holy shit, I have never seen that.
No, you blocked it from your memory. You saw
no,
it.
No, I really seriously don't believe I have seen this movie.
It's got Scarlett Johansson in it.
Oh, that's why I didn't watch it.
Ouch. Anyway, so you hate Samuel L. Jackson.
I hated Samuel L. Jackson this. It was just, I honestly haven't seen The Spirit, obviously, but he did a terrible Samuel L. Jackson impression in this film. There was nothing badass about that character.
How can he do an impression of himself?
This is... he does an impression of himself in every film that he's in. So, and this time, he just...
So basically, you're pissed that this wasn't Snakes on a Plane.
Exactly. Because that's a better fucking movie.
Oh my God.
And that's saying something.
It is saying something. Ow.
Oh.
All right. Let's get to our fifth likes then. Paul.
God, I'm going to have to go watch The Spirit. This movie looks epic.
My fifth like, I'm sorry, Jen, was, well, Samuel L. Jackson. And yes, Samuel Jackson was not at the top of his game in this movie. But then again, I have seen The Spirit and seen him at the bottom of his game.
You know, but the only good thing about Samuel L. Jackson in this film is the fact that he has white fucking hair. So he looks badass.
Also, he stabs people.
But, yeah, he's also clever.
Woohoo! Is he that clever? Or is his character, the organization he works for that clever?
Well, just to be clear, that since I've already covered that the Jumpers are, like, basically morons.
That's true. It doesn't take much to be more clever than they are. I will agree with that. But I don't know. He just, he wasn't, it was obvious that he was not into this movie. And it's like, you know what, dude? Just stop taking all the fucking random roles. Just stop.
He's got to feed his kids.
He's got to put food on his family.
Oh, yeah.
He's got like 18 kids.
Was this worse than Mace Windu?
No.
Yes. This was actually worse than Mace Windu.
Actually, yeah, I'll agree with you, but only because he cut off the Jango Fett's head.
He did a better job of being a very zen Jedi master than he did being a badass in this movie. And he wasn't that good as a zen Jedi master.
You just realized, right? That in Jumper, he's a Sith.
That's assuming the Paladins are evil.
Yeah, they really
are. He's governed by his emotions.
No, he's not. He's obviously completely logical.
No, he's not. He's decided to kill all Jumpers, period.
Yeah, because they are obviously a threat to mankind. And honestly, didn't you just write an entire post about controlling people with superpowers?
Because I said controlling, not committing genocide.
Well, granted, but it's a logical step to go to killing them.
I'm just going to leave that alone. That was magic thinking.
So is it my turn for my second?
Yeah, let's just let have
like?
Julia. Have
yes, it is Julia.
Yeah.
Because my fifth like is that apparently in this movie, Samuel L. Jackson is immortal. You cannot kill him. He will not die. It doesn't matter what you throw at him, including a London bus. He will not die. You cannot drown him in someone's apartment that you move into a river. You cannot kill him. He will not be stopped.
Okay, Here's my theory. Samuel L. Jackson has actually been the same character in every film he's ever been in, which means that he has actually technically lived forever.
He's a Prince of Amber. That's awesome.
Awesome.
Did you just seriously make a Zelazny reference?
Yeah.
Yes,
of course
did.
I did.
I love you, Paul.
Nerd.
But in all the right ways.
Yes. In all of our favorite ways.
But he has to be. Like, that's the only way to make what David and Griffin think valid is if this guy has been around since the beginning. So he's an immortal, which means he's also a mutant.
Right after this, he goes on to be the character in The Spirit. And then not long after that, he signs on to be what's his name from S.H.I.E.L.D., you know?
And also probably after that, he'll do a one-man musical.
Exactly.
It'll be called Samuel L. Jackson.
Where doing did the snakes on the plane come in?
I'm trying to figure that out right now. I believe that came. Oh, see, yeah, he was Nick Fury before he was the octopus in The Spirit, which happened before he was in this movie, or after. Now I can't even find. Oh, No. So he went from being Roland in Jumper to some guy in a movie called Gospel Hill, which I haven't seen, to being Nick Fury, to being Mace Windu, to being Octopus in the Spirit. And then he narrated Inglourious Basterds.
Well, he would have been Mace Windu before, too.
I think after he retires from trying to kill jumpers, he goes on a plane and it's full of snakes and he thinks they're jumpers, so he tries to kill them all.
Get these motherfucking jumping snakes off my plane! All right. Last dislike, everyone. Paul.
The muddled mythology.
Wait, I haven't done my last like! You keep...
Oh. You guys, you both still haven't done your last likes. What is...
Yeah. Oh, I haven't done mine either, yeah.
You keep trying to cut you guys off.
Jennifer, go quick.
So my last like is that this movie actually grows on me every single time I watch it. And when I say every single time I watch it, it's kind of sad that I've seen it like 4 times now.
You're scaring me, Jen.
I know!
You've watched this more than once on purpose?
Never on purpose.
I never have.
Or like, it comes on television, and every single time I watch it, I hope that it's going to like be good because I was so upset that it wasn't and it was nothing like the book. So every time I watch it, I'm like, maybe it'll be good this time. And sadly, somehow it becomes less horrible. Not in reality, you know, just my impression of it becomes more positive.
Jen, there is a word for this. A term.
Delusion?
Stockholm syndrome.
Oh, that's probably
yeah,
that's
probably
in stereo.
Awesome, Jen. Awesome.
Thank you.
Okay, well, my last like is something that's very personal for me, which is that the bully basically gets what's coming to him in the end, which makes me was very pleased. I got a lot of personal pleasure at seeing Mr. Bully Man basically get thrown into a prison cell and all that good stuff. It made me happy.
Yeah, but that's it. Like, nothing, but, you know.
Well, then. I know, because if it was me, I would have half teleported him into a wall and then laughed at him while he's like, help me, I'm stuck in a wall. And I'd be like, well, you should have thought about that before you tried to TP me.
So in the book, David, like, you know, that cave that he transports Roland into?
Mm-hmm.
In the book, he like keeps porting random bad people into that cave, and then he feeds them, so they have to live there forever with each other. It's pretty hilarious.
That's awesome!
Right? And it's genius. And he tortures them, actually, by dropping them continuously over and over again from a cliff, and then porting them back to the top, and then back to the bottom, and then they fall, and then they go back to the top, and then they fall, back to the top, and they fall, which is genius on its own. But yeah, so it would have been... It should have been Roland... living with the bully for the rest of eternity.
That would
be
awesome.
Hilarious. Right?
Roland would have killed the bully.
Who? Right, exactly. He totally would have pushed the bully out of the cave.
Yeah. Anyway, so last dislike, Paul.
The muddled mythology in this movie. We don't really, it's been alluded to before, we've discussed before, why are paladins really killing jumpers? How did this all start coming about? When was the first jumper? Diane Lane shows up for 5 minutes and suddenly, oh yeah, she's a paladin and that's why she had to leave her son. Like, what? I mean, at 88 minutes, this movie was 88 minutes long. This movie is simultaneously too long because it sucks and too short because it doesn't explain the backstory enough to make sense out of what really is going on with the world building or the mythology. And it's like, I was left scratching my head and thinking I could write this better, but I know already there's been a book, so I just think it's just an absolute mess. It's just there's no clear sides or why they're doing what they're doing. I would like to have some motivation why Roland has been killing jumpers throughout eternity.
Yeah, and this goes with my dislike, actually, because supposedly, this organization has access to privileges only afforded to certain segments of the U.S. government. Presumably, because he's running around with various ID cards. So
yeah, he's been. I think he's either impersonating or because he's been around so long, has been actually been taking roles within these organizations, which one of the reasons why I liked his character, because he has all these tricks up his sleeve.
Right. So, but that's never explained. It's never told to us that he fakes the identities. So that leads me to assume that he's a member of these governments and has some reasonable authority. And if that is true, it makes no sense within the context of the world, because here are people who have the ability to do things that otherwise can no other human being can do. And it makes more sense to me that that government would take those people and train them to use as government agents, not just exterminate them. That seems counterproductive to a nation. So the only way they make any sense is if they are impersonating government agents but are in fact an independent organization. In which case, I want to know where the fuck they get their money from. Where does it come from?
Yeah, and as far as I could tell, he was impersonating people and not actually part of those organizations. And I have no idea where they get any of their money or their technology from.
Church.
That's never explained.
I'm going with the church. They're paladins.
Which church?
Catholics.
Well, that's
I never saw any connection with the church anywhere in this movie.
No,
aside from
honestly,
the word
there
paladin.
Is none. Yeah.
So, I mean, there's like some shady people somewhere that have like lots of money. They're just like laying around just fiddling with their
Well,
whatever.
If they've been around for centuries, maybe they just invested well.
I don't know, man.
Maybe. I mean, they talk about God. A couple, they supply this about God, and only God should have this power to be everywhere. But it's a pretty thin read.
Yeah. That's just never explained. It's just dumb. I mean, they should be really formidable, you know, villains, but they're not. So, Julia?
I don't know. They're fairly... I don't know.
No, they're not really. They're only formidable because our heroes are stupid.
Oh, that's true.
Even Griffin is dumb, and he's been killing them.
I know.
Like,
really
what
is,
exactly makes Samuel L. Jackson's character any more dangerous than any of the other ones? There's nothing about him.
Seriously, why doesn't anybody use a fucking gun? I'd like to know that. I'm not pro guns.
Well, they
but...
use a flamethrower, but that can't kill Samuel Jackson because nothing can kill him.
No. I know. He's invincible. That's why he has to leave him in the cave, because he knows that he's invincible.
Okay, so my last dislike is I know we're supposed to have sympathy for the jumpers. I have no idea why, because even Griffin, and I know you guys all like him better than Hayden Christensen, which is fair, but still, he's not a good person. I know his parents died. That's fine. I can understand trying to distance yourself from other people that, you know, not forming relationships with them and trying not to care if people get hurt in the crossfire. But there's a difference between that and then actively doing things like taking a London bus, which is a double-decker bus full of passengers, off the road and throwing it at Samuel L. Jackson in the desert, which does not kill Samuel L. Jackson, but probably did kill some of the people on that bus.
Yeah.
You assume there were people on the bus.
There had to be people.
It was the middle of the day.
Like
at night,
it doesn't matter, because I've been on buses at London and there are people on them all the time. Yeah. And he took it from a busy street. There was at least a driver. There were probably at least a few passengers, if not quite a few more than a few. And he doesn't care about any of those people. It's not a question of like learning not to care if someone accidentally gets shot. It's a question of like, I'm going to decide to do this, which will kill a bunch of people.
I don't know. Those buses have airbags.
And do you know why? Because it would look cool if I threw a bus at somebody.
Also, it has airbags. So
no.
It'd be like a giant pillow inside.
No. No, it would not be.
Have you ever been in a double-decker bus crash?
Okay, now you're just making shit up.
Sean always said this. In any case, seriously, I was very not impressed with throwing a bus. And, like, also the flamethrower. Like, why are you using a flamethrower? Why don't you just stab him or, I don't know.
Shoot him with a machine gun?
Assault rifle. I mean,
assault rifle.
In Chechnya.
Yeah, you could teleport anywhere and get an assault rifle.
Yeah.
Does he have a nuclear bomb? Is that what that is?
I don't know, but it's a bomb.
I have no idea. Yeah. All I know
is
that.
And seriously, that was the dumbest fight ever. we're going to fight over the bomb, and we can't just get along and, like, deal with this, like, two reasonable, intelligent adults because we're too busy fighting over a fucking bomb. That whole thing made me crazy. Although I did like the jumping in that scene. It was pretty spiffy, you know.
Why on earth, this has nothing to do with anything, but it goes back to the incoherent plot thing.
We never talk about anything that has to do with anything.
Why on earth did he move her apartment into the middle of an underground water thing? I mean, like, what was the point of that?
He was trying to escape?
Yeah, he could just take her and jump out of there.
He can't. He's got the electrical wires on him.
So he jumps the
whole apartment.
Right, he has to jump the whole apartment because the wires are connected.
Stop holding him once he jumps to the water.
Okay.
Yeah, we just didn't think
that's probably as close to logical you'll get with this whole movie.
Yeah. Okay.
It's our own faults for trying to.
That's also a problem. We're trying to make
any of the movies that we watch for torture cinema. So yeah.
All right, Jennifer, you're the last.
So my last dislike has been stolen as a like, and dislikes both Kristen Stewart. She probably isn't the worst thing to happen to this movie. And yet, I was very upset when she showed up on screen. And I didn't remember her from the first four times I watched this film, which is probably a good thing. I think I blocked her out of my memory. And suddenly, like, she shows up and I'm like, oh my God, Twilight flashbacks! And my brain, like, exploded, and I automatically checked out. I'm not sure I saw the rest of the film. Was there a rest of the film? Was that was it, right? That was all there was to it.
Did you have
to nose up? She was looking out over the snow thinking, the snow is sparkling like my boyfriend.
Did you have the dream where Hayden Christensen was actually in Twilight but was better as Edward than Robert Pattinson?
No, that's impossible. I'm sorry. Robert Pattinson is definitely, hands down, a better Edward than Hayden Christensen.
Definitely.
I don't know. We should do an act-off.
I think Hayden Christensen would actually have made Twilight worse.
Ow!
Wow!
That's actually a tall order.
Now I really want to see Hayden Christensen and Rachel Bilson recreate Twilight.
That would be so bad. That would be
with Samuel L. Jackson playing Charlie.
Isn't that basically just
Jamie Bell playing Jacob?
No, I like Taylor Lautner as Jacob. He's really good at ripping his shirt off.
He really is good at that.
Oh my God, yes he is.
God, that's gross. He's like 12. Ew. Every time.
He knows how to fix every situation. By ripping his shirt off.
Just gaze upon my pectoral muscles.
I just want to gouge my eyes out every time someone mentions that. Sharp boy and lava girl.
What you're bothered by is not that he's taking his shirt off. It's that you enjoy that he's taking his shirt off, but that he's like 12.
It's horrible. It's so horrible. I feel like a dirty old woman. Which, granted, would explain my character in most of our skits, but...
Okay, so I realize I didn't actually do all of my dislikes, so...
No.
But you mention it, which is the shameless use of stock footage for when Hayden Christensen just goes, woo, woo!
Oh, God, that was horrible.
And I just thought that if he had made any other sort of sounds, it would have been like an awkward porno.
He could have done my... sound that actually might have been an improvement over the woo while surfing. Just saying.
All right. So does anyone have any last thoughts, or is that it?
Jumper.
Let's check out of this. Yes.
Okay, we'll get out of this. All right. So we need to grade it. So Paul, what do you rate it?
Wait, but real quick, I think this movie actually would have been improved by a second movie
without Hayden Christensen.
Yes. Obviously.
Maybe Christian Slater can be in the next one.
Oh, wow.
He was in the second Hollow Man. Why not?
I'm now imagining the second movie as Christian Slater and Winona Ryder from Heathers.
There'd be a skateboard scene in the middle.
Wait. Say that again? The second Winona Ryder?
No. Christian Slater and Winona Ryder from Heathers in the second Jumper movie.
Oh my god.
Because if they're gonna be
so hot,
if they're going to be horrible misanthropic people, they might as well be us.
Yes, I am digging that. Agreed. We need to go back to that movie.
Okay, Paul, what would you grade this movie so we can move on?
A nice solid D.
All right,
more no less.
Julia?
Yeah, I'm agreeing with Paul. D.
Okay, Jen.
I'm ashamed of this, but I can't give it anything worse than a C.
Okay.
Stockholm syndrome, Jen.
I know. Okay, thank you. I get it.
Oh, we love you, Jen. And I'm giving it a C-.
C?
No, I gave it less than a C. Thank you.
Shut up. Thank you.
Don't put me in the same league as you. And that's what, two Ds?
C and a C-, so D plus at best.
Yeah, I'll figure out the average. So, all right, so that basically does it.
Don't go watch Jumper, unless you want Stockholm Syndrome.
Well, they selected it for us, so they wanted us to watch this.
I know.
Our listeners hate us for some reason.
Well, to be fair, there's nothing on the list that's any good.
Yeah, I mean, like,
had any of us, aside from Jen, read the novel before seeing this movie?
I haven't.
Okay, well, maybe I'm just weird.
I bought the book. I haven't read it. I've heard a lot of people say that they really loved it when they were kids and they read it. Yeah. I just had never actually picked it up before. So I have it, and I've read like the first three chapters. And I have to say already, Davy is way more sympathetic in the book.
Hugely, hugely so. I mean, it's not a great book. Honestly, the book is even a solid C. Maybe a B. It probably does not pass the Bechdel test either, but it's good. You know, it's enjoyable. And at the age of, I think I was 14 when I read it, because it came out in 92, there had not been a lot of books about teleportation. This was the first science fiction that I really read that was like, teleportation, these are the ways that you can use it. And in that respect, it was great fun. And it gave you a good insight into how you can be a superhero with teleportation. Granted, I was already a Nightcrawler fan, so that might have had something to do with it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So, all right, so we should close out. So if anybody wants to suggest a movie, there's all the information will be at the end of the show. So thanks for listening, and we'll see everybody whenever the hell we come back.
Toodles.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
If you would like to send us hate mail on this episode or any other topics we've covered, you can do so in a number of ways. You can send us an email.
SkiffyandFanty@gmail.com.
You can send us a tweet.
@SkiffyandFanty.
Leave a comment on the blog.
SkiffyandFanty.com.
Go to Google+.
Shawnee Jen.
And or Facebook.
The Skiffy and Fanty Show. Our intro music comes from Time Flux by Revolution Void. You can check them out at freemusicarchive.org.
Just another weak human afraid to face death.
I pass in your general direction.
France, different planet.
The Force will be with you. Always.
End of line.